you would, take your Bibles with me this morning to 100th Psalm. Psalm 100. If you would, stand together with me, please, and let's read this psalm aloud together. Psalm 100. Well, we're so blessed to be able to be together in the house of God today. I hope that you will thrill and rejoice at the opportunity to study the Word of God together. Psalm 100, we'll read aloud these five verses together. Shall we begin in verse 1? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Father in heaven, this morning we love You. You are a great and mighty God. We are very thankful for the wonderful salvation that You have given to us, for the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. Draw our hearts and minds together around Your Word this morning, O Lord. Stir and challenge us, draw us close to You, that we may see with Your eyes, that our heart may beat with Your heart, that our minds might be united together around the Word of God, that You would use us, O Lord, for Your honor and for Your glory. I pray, Lord, for each home and family represented here today. I thank You that You have so stirred and touched the lives of these people that they have been drawn to this place to worship You this morning, to pool together our limited resources, our abilities, our talents, all that we are. We yield and surrender them to You, O God. I know in this room, Lord, there are many different prayer requests. There are fears and hopes and dreams and desires. Lord Jesus, You know the needs of each heart. I pray that You would use Your Word today to heal the brokenhearted, to lift up the discouraged, and to challenge us, O God, to be all that You can be in us and through us. We thank You for the Word of God and for Your Holy Spirit. We ask that You would fill us and anoint our services today. Fill us, Lord, with Your love for lost people. Keep us from sin. We pray, O God, that You would use us. Help us to be faithful until Your soon and promised return is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're so glad to be here with you this week for your mission conference. I can't tell you how exciting it is. We've left our telephones at home. We've left our computers at home. And this is the scary part for you. I don't even have my watch on this morning. So I understand that we have the building for the day. Is that correct? It would be a shame not to use all of our time here, wouldn't it? So about 10:30, somebody from the back just start throwing shoes forward. And we'll wrap up, I think, around 10:30 this morning. Our theme for the week is going to be a heart for the harvest, heart for missions. This church has demonstrated very well down through the years with the leadership that God has given you and the teaching that you received from the many sacrificial teachers and workers in this church. You know that God has blessed you. Amen. You dare not sit back and rest on your laurels. You have proven your sacrifice. You have been good stewards of God's money. God has blessed you, allowed you to have the church office and the facilities that you're using there for other services. You're in this building here today. God has been good to you. You have given sacrificially already. God has blessed this church, and out of the congregation here, God has called out and sent forth missionaries to different places. While we would agree that God has done great things in you and through you and with you, would you not have a desire today for God to do more? Amen. Amen? There are so many things that God can do. I think it begins, Psalm 100 is just one of my favorite verses. we had a little motto in our house when Melody and I were raising our children. Attitude is everything. We talked about having a gratitude attitude. And the more that you and I see how great and good God is to us, there's just something about it that makes us want to reciprocate, isn't it? We just want to say, thank you, Lord. And I think that's the spirit that you see here in Psalm 100. We're going to be talking today in our morning service, the afternoon service, and then I think pastors agreed to have a night service. We'll be here from about 6 p.m. till what, 9 or 10? Wait, sacrifice, we have to start somewhere, right? Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. This phrase, all ye lands. God has a desire for every man, woman, boy, and girl to know Him, worship Him, and serve Him. Amen? It is not enough that you've been saved. It's not enough that your family has been saved. Your children know and love God. It doesn't end with us. Missions is to go on. And so I hope that you will let God challenge your heart this week. Let me ask this. How many of you were born in Singapore? Raise your hands. Okay, that's most of you. Very good. All right. So this would be home for you. We know from the book of Acts that mission starts where? It starts at home, doesn't it? It's been exciting to see what God has done in this place with this church, with this congregation. It's not enough. There's a world outside this place. And we want to think about that today. With God's command, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. This week, as we think and talk about sacrifice and service, I want you to know it is a joy and a pleasure and a privilege to serve our God. Amen? Sacrifice. Sometimes sacrifice is not done willingly. I'll share this with you very quickly. Years ago, I was coming across a border crossing in the southern part of China. It was about midnight. I was with a group of men, and as we were coming through, they were redesigning the border crossing. And so there's a lot of scaffolding and catwalks. We were going around what they were reconstructing and building. And as you kind of get used to, sometimes in China, there's a lot of people that are begging. And I'm sad to say that I'd seen so much of that that I kind of got hardened. I kind of got calloused. I hate to use the word, I got used to it, but that's probably the honest truth. And so as we were walking along, going down these places, there was a little boy and a little girl that came up. They were probably 6 or 7 years old, and they were begging. Okay, okay, woman, can I? Woman, oh, can I make it fine? And so they're talking to us, wanting money. And the little girl was the older of the two, probably 7 years old, something like that. And I was tired. It was late. I had done my thing for Jesus that day. You ever start thinking like that? I'm tired. I just want to go home. I just want to shower. You know, I'm done, Lord. You know, I punched in, I punched out. But I noticed this little girl was wagging a doll off of her hip there, you know. She kept kind of sticking it. I'm like, what is this? So we're going on, and this guy's ushering me, come on, come on, go, go, go. And they kept after us. And finally they got into the area of an old man, an old woman. That was their begging turf. And so they shooed this little boy and little girl off. And we go up and over this catwalk. And as we came back down, here were these two kids again. And that's when I noticed that the doll that she was wagging on her hip was not a doll. It was a baby. But it wasn't moving. And I stopped as I realized something's wrong. The gentleman that I was with just said, go, just go on. So we're on up past them in line. And he told me what they were doing in Guangzhou at the time. They were taking these little children. This was a little girl. And they, excuse me here, they took razor blades and cut the nerves under each arm and in each leg to make a quadriplegic out of their own children, sacrifice their children for money, to permanently scar this innocent little child just so it would play upon the hardened sympathies of a Guaylo for money. Sacrifice. When he told me what was going on, my pity for the child was translated into anger at the parents for so selfishly sacrificing the life of someone else for their own gain. Lest you fall prey to the idea that in some way as a Christian you are just a cog in the machinery of Christianity, and that God is trying to get you to be a sacrifice, and God wants you to go somewhere and give up something, and that you don't really matter to Him. You're just part of the machinery of the church or machinery of missions. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ will never harm you. He will never hurt you to make you a sacrifice in His cause. Jesus Christ was the sacrifice Himself. Whatever God blesses you in giving you the opportunity to do for His glory, it's an honor and a privilege, and it will only make you better. God's call to service, God's call to ministry is for our good, the benefit of others, and for the glory of our Lord. Never, ever count it true sacrifice. In light of what Jesus has done for you and for me, dare we call what we do for Him sacrifice? As unfaithful as we are, dare we even call it service? So when I read David's challenge for us to come into His presence and to sing and give thanks to Him, I find here a people who are engaged in the ministry of God with joyful hearts, knowing that they're not going to be used and abused and thrown away for some selfish reason. But when God has so blessed a congregation like this, your hearts should resound with praise and thanksgiving to your great God. Take your Bibles now and roll on over to the book of Romans, please, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Isn't it horrible? Isn't it incredible what people do to other people just for money? Isn't it amazing? The lies, the deceit, any number of gross sins that we foister, that we commit to other people just for financial gain. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's amazing. What God has asked us to do is to yield our lives in service to Him. You'll see here that the primary is your life. It's your heartbeat. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul, writing, says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Note that. I don't know if you're a writer or not, if you write in your Bible, or if you're taking notes this morning. If you don't have any paper, just write on the sleeve of your friend. You just write it down there and take that note. But this phrase to me is vital. It says, by the mercies of God. What is mercy? We say that the twins in the Scripture are mercy and grace. Mercy is what God does not give us that we deserve. Right? Grace is what God gives to us that we don't deserve. Because God has withheld just judgment from us, He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Just think about what God has not done to you because of your sin. That's mercy. Boy, that should make us a grateful and thankful people, shouldn't it? Shouldn't that make us just fall down on our face and go, oh God, thank you for your mercy to me. What people say this? What people would proclaim and be grateful for the mercy of God? Is it not those people who are acutely aware of their sin? Remember the woman that came in? Jesus was there in the house. She came in and fell down at Jesus' feet and washed His feet with her tears and dried His feet with her... Well, I have to point to someone else who's got hair. That puppy right there is not going to dry very many feet, is it? But this woman comes in and you're thinking, man, that's kind of mushy. That's kind of syrupy and that's too much. And, you know, of course, everybody else who didn't understand this woman, they began to question and to criticize her. What's going on here? This woman's life bubbled over. She wanted in some way to demonstrate and to measure her gratitude to God for His goodness to her. Was she an evil woman? Yeah. She was a bad girl. She was aware of her ungodliness and the holiness of her Savior. That made her grateful. That opened up her heart. She said, oh Lord, what can I do? What was her education? What was her financial status? It didn't really matter. But she poured out in worship to God an expression of her soul's gratitude. Pastor's looking at us and he's acting like he's... But right now I'm going to sprinkle magic dust and the pastor is going deaf and blind. There he is. How many of you have found yourself, though you're saved and you're a Christian and you would say you love Jesus, have you ever come and just kind of played church? Anybody want to raise your hand? You just kind of come to church and you just kind of sit? Are there that many liars in here? We've all done it, haven't we? We know the routine. We know when to stand up. We know when the offering's taken. We sing the songs. And okay, we turn to this passage in the Bible. I know that story. And if we're not careful, we kind of set our mind on autopilot. And we just kind of come. But then you know those days when you come to church and you worship the Lord? It's a different kind of Sunday, isn't it? When your heart connects with the heart of God in a worship service. And I believe that these are the people that we've read about in Psalm 100 who come in and their hearts are full of gratitude and praise and thanksgiving and they worship the Lord. These are people who have met with their own sin and they've dealt with the depths and the degradation and the horribleness of their own sin. And they have been astounded at the mercy of God. These are the people who are ripe and ready for service. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Your wallets. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's a good question. Have you ever done that? Now, you don't get to volunteer your family member. You know, volunteer your brother-in-law. You know, volunteer your sister-in-law for mission service. Lord, please take my mother-in-law. Okay. Yourself. You know, we worry too much about other people, don't we? We look and say, man, that young man right there, that young couple, boy, they would be great missionaries. Let's get busy and let's pray and maybe a little conniving. And let's see if we can't get the Lord to call those people to the mission field. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been saved, you're a missionary. Amen? I did not sprinkle fairy dust on you, okay? listen to me, it's true. You know, if we're not careful, we try to do all this classification stuff with people. Oh, that's the missionary. And I want to use this in a very biblical way. If you're a Christian, if you've been saved, you have a mission. That mission is to know Jesus and make Him known. Very simply. So in that level, you and I could say that we are missionaries. The Bible uses the term, we're witnesses. Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me. So, present yourself. If you present yourself, does that mean your possessions go with it? Absolutely. You've heard the phrase, I'm sure, if God has your heart, the wallet goes with it. Okay? Present your bodies. These two words are kind of strange here. He says, a living sacrifice. We have some people in the world today who are trying to further, if I can use that word, trying to further their cause by killing themselves and other people they don't even know. We call them, well, some people call them martyrs. I have another word for it. I just call it stupid, but I don't know. That's how they're promoting themselves, this martyrdom. My Bible says to live for Jesus. A living sacrifice. You know, can we say this? It's more challenging, it's more difficult to live for Jesus than it is to die for Him. Right? I mean, the daily grind. You know, it's one thing to be in a mission conference and say, man, praise the Lord, I feel like the Lord wants us to be involved in our visitation program or in the choir or in the teaching ministry of the church and whatever. Boy, it's easy to say that when you get excited in a service, but then, whoo, that faith promise commitment that you make. You mean I still have to pay rent? Yeah. Yeah. I still have to buy my food? Yes. Yeah. It's that sacrifice of living for Jesus. We're going to be talking about sacrifice a little bit later in our service. If you will, look at the last part of Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you what the parents were doing to these infant girls. That's evil. That's evil. To permanently scar and disfigure and maim your own child for money. Not for that child's good, but only for the selfish desire of that parent. What does my Bible say? It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now, what you are asked to do in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, is these two words, reasonable service. The sacrifice of service. Ladies and gentlemen, what you're going to be challenged with, what you've been challenged with under the teaching and preaching of your pastor all these years, it's reasonable. You know, we talk about the types of giving. Some people give, and that's great. Giving is wonderful. It's, you know, you feel like, man, I've got enough and I can give. There are people who give, and that is commendable. There's another level of giving. Some people give till it hurts. Have you ever done that? You know, giving, we're just kind of like tipping. You know, we're just kind of pouring a little off of the top. But then when you go into that next level, you start giving till it hurts. Have you ever done that? Have you ever felt the pinch? Have you ever done without? Have you? What was that break point? What was it? What did you feel like it was enough or that the need of the people you were trying to meet had been met when you kind of felt that, ouch? You give until it hurts. And then for all of us, there's probably a place there where we say, that's all I can do. There's a third level. Some people give. Some people give till it hurts. Some people just give until it helps. You just give. Well, what a challenge. Whatever that level is that you find yourselves at today, would you let God stretch you? Oh, the Lord knows about stretching. He took that hand and this hand. He was bruised for our iniquities. By His stripes we are healed. Oh, the Lord knows all about sacrifice. He did not just give. He did not just give us some moral platitudes to live by. Some encouraging words. He didn't just come down here and give up the praise of angels in heaven to put up with the mockery of men. Though He said, don't you know, I could call for legions of angels and they'd come take me away from here. Didn't He suffer enough in the garden when He prayed for you that night and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood? Oh yes, my Lord knew about sacrifice. He had been stretched. He didn't just give till it hurts. He gave until it helped. And that's when He cried out on the cross, "It's finished." So in light of a Lord who loves us so, would you allow God to speak to your heart this week? And I'll be honest with you. If you can believe this from a Baptist preacher, it's not about the money. You've been here long enough. The money's important. Money is a tool that we use. What was it? What did He say? Young man, give me what? Give me your heart. Would you do that? Would you pray this week that God would touch the hearts of your children? I tell you, it blessed my soul to see all these young people here this morning. Amen? Well, every greedy little missionary comes to me and says, "Oh, young people, memorizing their Bible verses, faithful, being rewarded as young children. Mom and Dad, could you give your kids up?" Had one man come up and said, "Can you take my wife?" "Please." No. Why work that way? Reasonable service. So I want you to couple these thoughts, and we're going to pursue them further in the service. What's our time? Nobody's thrown a shoe yet, but some of you are leaning over. I'm getting nervous. What time is it?
10:25.
10:25. Oh, man. It's going to be a good day. Ray promised to feed me if I would finish on time, so I have great motivation here this morning. Let's take our Bibles now. We've been in Psalm 100, and we've seen what these people are doing, and then how in Romans 12:1 we kind of see how that happens, this sacrifice. We're going to be talking about the sacrifice of giving, but it really goes far beyond the giving, and we could probably be honest and just say it's the sacrifice of living. Isn't life wonderful? Amen? You know, with all of its bumps and bruises and problems and sickness and sorrow and death, life is good. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more what?
Abundantly."
I hope today that you are living an abundant life, because God is going to ask from you abundant sacrifice, abundant service. In order to give that to Him, you're going to have to be living the life that He has intended for you to live. Hebrews chapter 13, please. Now, as we talk about the concept of sacrifice, this kind of lays in the back of my mind. I need to, you know this is true. Remember when King Saul went out and gave incomplete obedience, and Samuel is there, and he's going, "What's this? What meaneth this? What am I hearing?" And Saul goes into his explanation. And Samuel says, "To obey is better than what? Than sacrifice." So, while it is true that you and I are being challenged with the concept of sacrifice, which means an act of the will on your part to say yes to an opportunity that God gives us. Know this, it's not about you. It's more than your sacrifice. When you get down to it, it's just about obedience. When our Lord gave the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that's not a selective service on our part. It's just obedience. You go into all the world and you're doing that. You're doing that with print. You're doing that with your website. You're doing that with your daily life as you go out here in Singapore. You're doing that as you put tracts out and invite people to church and you bear witness. There's many, many ways that we obey that command. But it gets into the realm of sacrifice when we talk about giving up our life, our family, giving up a child to mission service. Here in Hebrews chapter 13, please, two verses. Verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Let's look at that verse for just a second, and then we'll be done. This challenge that we will confront this week is really only possible with these first two words, verse 15, by Him. What I'd like for you to do this morning as we close this Sunday school hour is pray in your heart, say, oh God, please make me willing. Just, you know, that, and that the Lord said, you know, if you're willing, I can do something. God's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to cut your nerves loose to the things of this world and desensitize you. He's not going to make you a robot. God asked this morning, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, God is going to ask you this morning, if you will let Him, before God asks you to do something, let Him make the first move. Would you do that? With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's take just a moment and worship the Lord, thank Him for His goodness. I don't know what you're prepared to sacrifice for the cause of Jesus Christ. But before you sign a faith promise commitment card, before you resolve to get back in the Word and be active in your prayer life, would you right now this morning just pray and say, oh God, if any of this is going to happen, it's going to have to be by You and through You and because of You. You know the drill. How many mission conferences have you had? How many times have you been challenged? How many times have you been stretched? Today, right now, just say, dear Lord Jesus, would You please help me? Oh God, make me willing, willing to hear, willing to do, willing to consider the challenge of this week, willing to go. Father, we thank You for Your Word today.